90% of the 26 billion text messages sent daily are read within 3 minutes. The stats are clear. Text messages are an effective way to communicate, but texting is also a great way to create conversation and build community. Today, we're talking about how to use text messaging to engage with your members and develop deeper relationships with the members of your community.
Hey, Church Communicator. Welcome to the Church Juice Podcast. I'm Brian Haley, and I'm joined with my co-host, Jeanette Yates. And we are here, as always, energizing church communications.
Woo-woo!
And today, we're talking text messaging. So I brought in the best guest that I know to talk about text messaging, and that is Jeanette, of course.
Oh my goodness, it's me.
So why don't you tell us why you're the best person to talk about this?
I'm flattered that you have asked me here today, Brian. Thank you for having me.
Of course. So
in my day job, I work with churches to create strategies for connecting with their members and guests through texting. That's what I do all day. Yeah. Now, some of you who are listening may be thinking that texts are spammy and annoying. And maybe you're even hesitant to use another technology tool to connect with your members. After all, I know preachers are looking out at us in the sanctuary, in the pews, and wanting us to put our phones down and actually listen to the sermon. So why would we want to give them another reason to look at their phones? But what if I told you that there are simple texting strategies you can use throughout the week to keep your members engaged and even more connected with you and other members when you do gather?
So I'll admit, I think text messages sometimes can be spammy. How do you actually use text messaging to build community? Because that's what we're talking about here. In this little mini series of podcast episodes, we've been talking through building community in an online or kind of non-physical space. I guess texting isn't really online, but we're trying to find different ways to build community because people are dispersed. People are interacting differently than they did even 2 years ago. So how is text messaging beneficial for building community?
Well, so the first thing I want to address is the idea that texts are spammy. Texts are used in the business world for marketing purposes.
For sure.
And so we've all texted something or opted in to get a coupon or something, and then we regret it because we're getting nothing. You're like, I just wanted my 10% off
my smoothie.
Yes. Right. And now you're telling me every day I need a smoothie. I don't have time to get a smoothie every day. Stop texting me. So I want to push back with the idea that the text is the problem.
The content of the text.
The content of the text is the problem. So texts aren't spammy. How you use texting can be spammy.
That's valid. I'll give you that. Okay.
So a couple of things I'm going to kind of quickly move this so we can get to the actual community building part. But if someone has given you the permission to text them, they are trusting you with that information. You need to protect that trust and use it wisely. So when you're inviting someone to connect with you via texting, you want to be clear about what's in it for them. Now, if the smoothie place said, if you text us and join our texting thing, we're going to send you a 10% coupon every single day, then you can't be mad at them if they send you a coupon every single day.
For sure.
So same with churches. If you're saying to them, we want to stay connected with you throughout the week, we're going to be sending a couple of text messages through week just to the conversation going or keep you in the loop as to what's happening, then you're letting them know, hey, we're going to be texting you a couple times a week. Then you should stick to that.
Right.
Okay. And then I think if you do, the person on the receiving end is not going to feel like you're spamming them. Now, if you said you're going to keep them in the loop about relevant things happening in your church, and then you text them other things, that might be another conversation. But in general, people have opted into your texting. They've said, yes, I want to hear from you, and it's okay to text them.
Yeah. So it's all about the content that you're sending. How do you use the content that you're sending to build community?
So we really saw this amazing uptick in using texting to stay connected with churches, staying connected with their community. And maintaining and in some cases even building relationships through the pandemic. And then of course, you know, the pandemic's still here, but we're even after people are starting to gather a little bit, we're still seeing this happen. And so here are a couple of ideas that we saw people doing that really generated community. I'm going to kind of talk through some of the things that we saw over the course of the last year and a half. So initially, this was just about, you know, first of all, a lot of people weren't connected with their members through texting.
Absolutely.
They had to get them connected. So they said, hey, we know that we can't meet in person right now. So we want to be able to text you how we're going to be gathering for worship and checking in on you to make sure you have everything you need. Please, you know, let us text you. And so they did that. And then they had this group. And then throughout the week, not only were they sharing, okay, we're going to go live. You know, some people were just doing Zoom. Some people were going live on Facebook. They were sharing that information. But then they also were like, just texting their members and saying, hey, do you have everything you need? Do you need us to go to the store? Want to go to the pharmacy for you? Do you need your grass? I mean, you know, in those first 4 weeks, it was really like, and it was amazing to just watch the response. You know, we talk about this sometimes in our episodes. I love any kind of multi-generational coming together. Members, you know, that hadn't necessarily texted, start texting to stay connected and, you know, get help and all that kind of stuff. So that's one thing. That's just that very basic, like, how can we help you this week? Right. And whether you're in the middle of a pandemic or not, people want to be encouraged or connected with during the week with a simple, how can we help you? How can we pray for you? That is still something that we're seeing very useful right now, connecting with members and not just members, but a lot of churches are just using it. They're putting out, you know, text this number with your prayer request and we'll pray for you kind of thing. Out in the community, we're seeing that still. It's been very effective. So those are just a couple of initial ideas, but I got more.
Okay. Let's talk a bit about that strategy. How do you create a strategy that effectively communicates well? Churches have phone numbers, right? They already have that contact information, but you don't want to just start texting them right away because, like you said, that's kind of spammy to begin with, right? You need permission to do that. So how do you even start building this list to start communicating well with people?
We use a digital connection card feature. So it's easy for people to, so you can say to your members, you know, hey, we want to keep you in the loop. So if you text the keyword loop, we'll send you a digital connection card. You can fill it out and then we'll put you in the group and we'll keep you in the loop.
Okay.
So there's, you know, easy ways like that. There's also ways like people can scan a QR code and get that digital connection card. So if you want to have things out in the world, you know, where you're posting that QR code, people can scan it. So there's different ways to gather people's information, digital connection card, QR code. You can have it something on your website that allows people to give you their information so that you can follow up with them. So that's another, you know, option that is available at Text and Church. Those are easy ways to get people connected where you're not just cold texting them, as we like to say in the business.
Yeah, right. How do we use text messaging to develop deeper relationships with people in our community? I feel like that's a little bit different. So what does that look like?
Right. So one of the things that, you know, can also be kind of annoying is a group text.
Yeah, for sure.
Where you might want to text, you might say, well, I can just open my phone and select all the people and just do it from there. But then if somebody replies, then all 100 people you just texted.
And unless they're all on an iPhone, you can't remove yourself from the group. Yes. You can only like mute the conversation. So,
right. So we don't want to do that. At Text and Church, you can create a group inside the platform that has all of your members. And then you can just, you know, select, I want to text this group. And it sends that message to everyone in the group and they get it individually. So it comes from your local number. They see it from, you know, you, the church, or maybe you personally, depending on how they have it saved in their phone. And then when they reply back, that just comes to you, not everybody else. So that's helpful in keeping that spam down. But then another thing that's happening is that's creating a one-on-one conversation potentially. When you send out a message to all of your members in the loop group, how can I pray for you today? And somebody replies back, you, as the administrator of that group in your church account, and any other administrator can see that prayer request, and one of you can reply back to it and actually pray.
So I think what you're kind of explaining here is something that we probably need to clarify. Community in text messaging looks a little bit different than kind of the other platforms, right? The community we're building through text messaging is more with the church and an individual rather than the congregation building community with each other. So I think that's kind of a careful distinction. Like, we don't want group chats via text message because nobody likes those. But what you're doing is you're building community and you're building more consistent connection with the church, with the staff, with pastoral care team, whatever that looks like, right?
And then, you know, so it's an individual experience for you as the receiver of the text message, but everybody is experiencing connection with the ministry staff, with the church mm-hmm. as a whole. So everybody's communally experiencing that, but on a one-to-one basis. And when we gather, when we come back, we have that sense of, you know, I have felt connected to my church all week. But there are some other things that we saw some people doing over the last year and a half that did kind of create a universal community. So I want to share some of those more fun ideas. One of the things, you know, that we saw, so we have, in addition to, you know, everybody having to shut down, we also, at that period of time, we also have people that are in rural areas. And so, you know, one of the members I talk to all the time, she is the texting pastor person, you know, like she's doing all that. So everybody knows it's her, even though it says it's the church name. She is reaching out to her whole church, but also individually every week. But another thing that she and some other churches have done is, you know, when they can't meet together, whether it's because of COVID or extreme weather or something, one thing I've seen people do is say, hey, send us a picture of where you're worshiping today. Send us a picture of your, you know, favorite quiet time spot or whatever.
Okay. Yeah.
And they get pictures back, and then they can then share those on social media or something like that. And it's kind of creating community and keeping everybody connected together.
Okay. Cross-platform.
Yeah. So cross-platform. So there's that. We also have a lot of churches that use it with their youth group, and they do texting scavenger hunts. So you may be, you know, using that to, you know, text out like, okay, you know, text us a picture of this when you find it, and then we'll text you the next step or something like that. So they're creating kind of community through that. And so what I really believe, and we talk about this at, you know, where I work, and also I think most church communicators would agree, there's not only one best tool. You need to be showing up everywhere people are on their phone and creating both a one-to-one and a one-to-many options for people, because some people want to be connected with a bunch of people, maybe in a Facebook group, and other people are like, I can't even deal with Facebook, don't want to, but I really still want to feel connected with church. You know, I want to feel connected with my pastor. I want to feel connected. So I think that doing cross-platform or staying connected with people throughout the week using texting, but then gathering in person or gathering in your Facebook group or gathering on your Zoom or whatever are all, I think they're all connected.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think realizing that, we talked about this a while ago with Jason Kasten about being omni-channel, just talking through like, you can't just rely on one method, you have to, or one medium or whatever, like you have to meet people where they're at. And I think this is a key way to do that oftentimes. And thinking through churches that I've talked to that have been in rural communities, text messaging is probably a much better way to go to build community than Facebook or something, because I can remember distinctly a church that I visited in Maine and talked with the pastor and the leader there that they just didn't have reliable internet. So they needed to find more creative ways. But even if you're in a urban or suburban area, people are on their phone, and probably maybe even more so, right? So text messaging, regardless of where you're at, as long as they're self-service, is probably a good way to go.
Well, and you know, we talked about that. I gave some stats at the beginning, you know, and they're just crazy stats. And so, you know, there's a temptation to hear that and think, you know, yeah, there's a 26 billion texts every day. Why do I want to send more text? You know, but I don't want to be part of that noise. But what you're doing is not, as a church or, you know, as the pastor, you're not part of that noise because you're not saying, be the first five people at church and get the, you know, you're not doing that. You're saying, hey, I just want you to know I'm looking forward to seeing you at church on Sunday.
Yeah. And we talk a lot about breaking through the noise too. So finding those genuine ways, if you're adding value to someone's day, that is breaking through the noise. That is valuable content that people want to receive. Whereas the 10% off coupon for a smoothie I had 3 weeks ago, not so valuable. And that's what's adding to the noise.
And, you know, one more thing, you know, as we were talking, because one of the things I said in the intro is like, you know, what if I told you you could connect during the week so that when you do gather, you're more connected? It's a youth group trick, but I really feel like you can use it with everybody. One of our members, one of the things that he does with his youth follow-up is text, you know, once the kid opts in to receive text and he's welcoming them as part of what he's doing, he says, hey, what's your favorite candy? Well, then the next time they come, he has that candy for them.
Very thoughtful, right? Yeah, like that shows thoughtful. That you care.
Right. And it shows that it wasn't just a silly question. What's your favorite candy? That's, you know, because we do that on Facebook. What's your favorite candy? But then nobody's going to show up at my house with Twix. If I post that on a Facebook comment, Twix is my favorite candy, y'all. But I know you can't get everyone's favorite candy if you have a church of 700 people.
For sure.
Maybe, you know, you have a group that you're texting. So maybe it's not always texting all your members. Maybe you're texting your Sunday volunteers and you're asking them, what's your favorite kind of coffee? What's your Dunkin' order? What's your Starbucks order? And then you're showing up on Sunday with some coffee. You don't have to go buy candy for 700 people.
For sure. But you can find other ways to care for people, right? That's what you're doing. Showing empathy, building community. That's what we're trying to do. So I think that's really cool. And I think there's a lot of ways that churches can use texting to really build community, especially that connection between church leadership or, you know, whether that's lay or pastoral or whatever, to the members of the church. Because I hear it all the time, and I'm sure many churches do, that no matter what we do, people in the congregation feel disconnected, especially throughout the pandemic. Like, there's nothing we can do. There's not enough things we could do to help people stay connected. So this is just one more tool that people can use. So if people want to learn more about text in church, which is where you serve, where you work, where should they go?
Speaking of community, I highly recommend you coming to the Text in Church community Facebook group.
Okay.
You can also just always go to textandchurch.com, and we've got some stuff there for you as well. But, you know, if you want to learn more about just texting and how to do it for ministry and not to make it part of the noise, that's what we're talking about over there a lot, and strategizing together. You know, we're working together, we're brainstorming ideas. And so that's a lot of fun. Of course, I'll be in the Church Juice Facebook group too, but also textandchurch.com is a great place.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thank you, Jeanette, for both co-hosting and being our guest today. I love that you are an expert in so many areas, so I really do appreciate just what you bring to the conversation here. We will continue today's conversation in our Facebook group, the Church Juice Facebook group. You can head over to churchjuice.com/podcast and find all the details there. But next week, we're going to talk a little bit about Zoom and video and how to build community through video discussions, video chat, because that was something that was huge during the pandemic. And you kind of kicked off this series by saying you still need Zoom. So we'll talk about that next week in the next episode and what that means, what that looks like.
And y'all, if you haven't heard, Church Juice has launched a grant program for churches. You can get all of the details about how your church can get free money and support to build your next big communications idea by heading to churchjuice.com/grant. But hurry, because applications are due this coming Sunday, October 31st.
All right, get them in quick. We've had a lot of people apply already, so I'm excited to just kind of read through all those. And I've put together a team that's going to review them. Jeanette, you're one of those people. So I'm excited about this grant program. Again, we'll share a link with that in our show notes today. You can get all the show notes, all the links that we've talked about, and we'll continue the discussion in our Facebook group. Just head over to churchjuice.com/podcast. You'll get all the information you need right there.
Church Juice's podcast is a listener-supported production of Reframe Ministries, a family of programs designed to help you see your whole life reframed by God's gospel story. Church Juice is produced by Brian Haley, with post-production by audio engineer Nate Morris in Grand Rapids, Michigan. For more information about Church Juice, visit churchjuice.com. For more information on Reframe Ministries and our family of programs, visit reframeministries.org.